I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Today, we have a very special guest. Eli is here with us, aka The Jar. You might know her as that. And we are live. So if you want to be watching on video, make sure you're on Spotify, on YouTube. Of course, you can always listen everywhere else, but we just want to make sure we let you guys know that you can watch this if you want.
Eli, content creator, author. Congratulations.
Thank
we'll talk
you.
About that a little bit more. And iconically.
An advice giver.
An advice giver.
Yeah, we absolutely admire Eli's unapologetic confidence towards life, herself, reaching all of her goals. And I'm definitely excited to learn a lot of where that came from, how she deals with that fluctuating, because I'm sure that it does, as it does for all of us, as well as just giving some of her top advice for all of us. Because if you do follow Eli, then you know that she is very big on helping us all out with advice. And if you don't, then I'm sure there'll be so much you're going to get from this as well. So let's get into it. Eli, tell us about yourself, your story.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I am 23 years old. I live in New York City full time. I actually grew up like 45 minutes away from here in Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I've spent most of my life on the East Coast. I went to college at the University of Michigan. I graduated in 2020, so that was like pandemic graduation times. I had studied theater and creative writing and political science there. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And then I went to get my master's in journalism at Columbia, like directly after pursuing theater at Michigan. And during that time, I just started to do social media, and then I worked for a bit as a journalist and just realized I'm like hybrid, really don't like being a journalist, and also I'm not very good at it, and it just wasn't for me, and so I very gracefully fell into the position I am in now as a content creator and writer, and I love it, so I guess everything worked out for a reason.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it definitely shows like your creativity from theater then moving into like a content creator position. It makes a lot of sense, as well as like your writing skills definitely transition into that as well. So I feel like it is kind of a perfect independent mix of those skills when you don't really want to go that traditional route.
For sure. Okay, this is my favorite question to ask to get to know people. What is your ideal or typical day in the life?
Okay, that's a good one. I guess I'll give my typical because ideal is really hard. Normally, I get up at 7. I'm, like, an early riser, but I also am really busy throughout the day, so it helps to be up early. I have, like, a skincare routine I do, like, a morning routine. Usually, I'm at the gym pretty early, and I work out. I like to, like, do classes. I work out with the trainer sometimes. I run a lot, so I'll do that, shower, and then I usually have, like, strings of meetings about, like, content and ads and, like, whatever we're doing with brands, sometimes with my manager. Then I have, like, a large chunk of the day set aside to write because I signed a book deal, so I'm writing a book. I'll do that. I have an office now, so I'll go there. I love, like, the side of social media that's actually social in person. So there's a lot of events. I would say, like, 5 nights a week I could go to one, but I probably choose, like, 3. I don't go to, like, all of them because it's just a lot of socializing.
Yeah.
But I love to, like, see my friends at night. But I would say I probably work, like, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. I don't really stop. I'm always, like, doing something that has to do with the brand and, like, everything, which I love. Like, I'm so happy doing it, and it's amazing. So there's definitely a lot in going on. I also record, like, my podcast once or twice a week. I do actually out of this exact studio. And sometimes I have guests, but not too often, probably, like, one every other month in terms of, like, how I operate with guests. So it's usually just me here by myself talking into the mic, but it's awesome. And planning that. So the days are busy, but they're happy. Like, I can't complain ever. I'm very grateful. Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. What I'm, like, curious about those events, because, like, having 5 event opportunities a week is, like, a lot. So is that all based in New York City? Is it, like big because you are in the city, you think?
I don't really know. I know that the New York culture, like, breeds a lot of these types of events. So, like, on Wednesday, I had 2, like, one thing with Equinox and then one thing with the dating app, the Locks Club. Last night, I was at a Steve Madden event, which was really fun. I mean, it's kind of like going out, though. So I guess you have to, like, pick and choose, because for me, I'm just not a big, like, partier. No hate to anyone who loves to party, because I used to have party girl phase, like, in college. I'm just not like that. So, like, last night was a lot. But it was really fun. They had, like, a DJ and an open bar, and, like, you could pick out shoes, and they had, like, ear piercing and a tattoo station. It was crazy, and every content creator in New York was there.
Did people get tattoos?
Yeah, I got my ear pierced. Really? So I mean, my friends talked me into it, but I thought it was fun. But yeah, those types of events kind of just happen all the time.
Yeah, that's super exciting, as well as your book is very exciting as well. So I want to make sure that we talk about that a bit in the beginning of the episode, because I feel like, is it pretty new and, like, fresh news for you?
Sort of. So I've known for a while, but it wasn't, like, public information for a while, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is, like, your plan for the book? What is kind of the purpose of the book?
Yeah. So it's called I Didn't Know I Needed This. It's going to be, like, the slack line would be, like, rules for falling into and out of, like, love, dating, ghosting, sex. It's basically, like, relationships, about relationships, but not just, like, romantic ones, rather, like, platonic, your relationship to yourself, kind of how we operate in relationships. Yeah. It's personal essay style. And it's kind of a combination of, like, stories and advice. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. You should be.
Thank you. I've always wanted to write fiction. That was always, like, my dream. But I'm looking forward to kind of pivoting, because I think narrative nonfiction, which is the style, is something really comfortable for me. And I think it's a really good first book. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be a good first book.
Yeah, sounds like a good first book. I'm so excited to
read
it. And to follow the process of you writing it. Where are you within that process, or what are your plans going forward?
So I'm writing it now, and I have about 6 months to write it.
Wow. Yeah. It's probably about to, like, pick up and be even busier days, I would imagine.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of all of the advice that you're going to share in your book, obviously, like, advice and these little rules are a big piece of your content and source of inspiration for a lot of the people that follow you. So I think that we really want to get into, like, Eli's top advice on all of these different topics, like finding balance in your life, your confidence, and things like that. So let's start with health, I think, because health is, like, a big topic for us as well. We talk a lot about a balanced, healthy lifestyle and, like, finding your balance within that. So I think first off, like, what does being healthy mean to you?
It's a really good question. I think, like, I reject a lot of the notion of, like, what health is, because mm-hmm. I think it's, like, very it can be very toxic, yes. and it's, like, conflated with a lot of toxicity. So I don't, like, when someone's like, let's get a healthy dinner, I'm like, to me, that means eating French fries. So I don't really know, like, what that means to you. Like, mm-hmm. but people have different definitions of the term healthy. Like, I guess scientifically healthy would mean, I don't even know. I don't think it really exists as a right, term right. that we could define. Because for me, health just means, like, prioritizing my own happiness and my own, you know, setting my intentions in a way that will honor my life and will contribute to my general well-being and also will allow me to continue to do the things I love and continue to, you know, push ahead. So, like, for me, being healthy doesn't really mean, like, having a green juice. Like, mm-hmm. having a green juice is more like I like them and it's honoring my life. And so I think I don't really subscribe to, like, healthy because I just feel like a healthy person is just someone who's happy and doing something for themselves. But I think the problem is the word health is so, like, bogged down with so much and it can be like really I think it sometimes can come off as like really fat phobic or classist even yep. because like you know healthy is like always expensive organic food and it's so crazy how expensive that kind of stuff can be or like healthy we think of like the that girl
or so like I think, one specific look of a person as yeah. well when that doesn't cover it
totally
whatsoever.
I think it's so subjective and I think it's really personal like whatever Absolutely. Whatever is going to make you feel good and like help you prioritize the things that you want to prioritize would be healthy for you mm-hmm. I think
do you have like something that helped you get to that definition of healthy? Has that changed over time?
It's hard to say because I think even when I was struggling with my eating problems, like mm-hmm. this kind of rule of thumb and how I thought was in the back of my mind. But I think I always just felt like this diet culture thing was really troublesome for me, even yeah. when I was like trapped in it. So I think that I always knew what my definition of healthy was, but it took me a while to really, like, own it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. I like that. I think a lot of people do, kind of subconsciously in the back of their minds, know what healthy means to them. And that's where the, like, battle almost comes from.
Yeah.
When we do have, you know, problems with disordered eating or over-exercising.
Absolutely.
We put ourselves like in that. These, like, strict what we think healthy is or what we're told healthy is.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, like, I can definitely relate to that. And I think the problem is that almost everyone can relate to that, and that yeah. shows that there's definitely a huge problem with, like, how health is taught to people and how it's portrayed as this black and white thing when it is so not. It's so specific to each person. It means more than just what you're eating. Like, health has so many different meanings and categories within that. So I think for me as well, like, I definitely agree with your definition, and I think a big thing for me also is, like, if something healthy is taking away from other parts of your life, then it's not healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, or if it's, like, causing you trouble in any way. Mm-hmm, like, that yeah. can't be healthy for you if it's causing you, like, disdain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you love listening to Girls with Goals and other podcasts like ours, and you've ever thought about making your own, then let's talk about Anchor.
First off, it's free, which is amazing because there are so many cool things you can do with Anchor to make your podcast a reality. You can record and edit right on Anchor using your phone or your computer, and then Anchor will distribute your episodes to Spotify, Apple, anywhere you want your podcast, Anchor does it for you.
Anchor works with Spotify, so you can add any song straight from Spotify into your podcast. You can even make money off of your podcast through Anchor. It's really just everything you'd need or want in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
Yeah, and so you talked about how healthy just to you means things that make you happy and are honoring your body. What are some of those things?
I definitely like do think exercise can be a really healthy thing for me, but in an intuitive way.
Yeah.
I think like socializing and seeing my friends and my people can be really healthy for me, but within moderation because I'm definitely introverted. So I'd say that's really healthy. I think just like thinking about my sleep and rest schedule, like giving myself the ability to do those things. And then just like eating whatever I want and not really listening to like the noise. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I didn't eat a vegetable today. I should probably do that. And It's like, I have those triggers in my head. Like, yeah, I should be eating balanced, but I don't subscribe to anything of what balance is because to me that's healthy, because when I did subscribe to what balance was, I overdid it.
Right.
Sure. You know, and I do believe in like eating dessert and I love Diet Coke. That is healthy to me. Like, there are worse things. Like Diet Coke is a vice. Yeah. Like when I'm stressed and I want to treat myself, it's a Diet Coke. I don't like, if you're going to go on a rant telling me how unhealthy it is, I'm just going to look at you like, good. Like, yeah, I'll have another one. Like,
yeah,
I need it to survive. Like, It's just something that I love. Or like coffee. People are like, you can't have that much. I'm like, I'm going to do it. Like, I have to have my coffee. So again, I think it's back to just like, these things are things that keep me afloat, keep me positive. Right. Like, am I going to drink 17 Diet Cokes a day? No. But I definitely do have like 5 Diet Cokes a week.
Right.
And I would do it again.
Sometimes the healthiest thing for you in a day is probably having that Diet Coke.
Yeah, because it just like it unwinds me. It like makes me – I'm like, oh, that's my treat. Like this is like – I feel joy from this Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And like maybe I had a tough day.
Right.
Like it could bring me joy, and that to me is health.
That's for
healthy.
Your mental health.
Yeah.
That's equally important.
For sure.
With your physical health.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And then tied with health a lot is body image. And I know that is like huge when it comes to confidence. And so do you have things that help you maintain a positive body image or things like that? Any advice on that to share?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I have a bad day with my body, I'll just like, I know some people are like, I have a dance party. I look at myself in the mirror and give affirmations. I definitely do give affirmations, but I'll just get dressed and not look in the mirror because I know that the dysmorphic thoughts and like the dysphoria going through my head is not an accurate representation of anything. Mm-hmm. So when I have a bad body image day, I try to remind myself that like my body didn't change from the day before. So the thoughts in my head are just that.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get dressed and I'm going to go do something to make me feel good. I'm going to take a walk outside and I'm not going to like look in the mirror and over scrutinize. I'm not going to look at myself and nitpick every little thing wrong with me. I'm just going to go out and enjoy my day and try to like put it to the side. Cause I think I've realized like those days do come around. And like when they do, like there are certain ways that you can manage it. And I think like, just realizing that your body is really the least important thing about you. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Your physical body. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We need our bodies, but like the way your body looks, your weight is like the least important thing about you. Like there's so many more things. And like you would never say to yourself like, oh, I'm so thirsty, I'm not going to have water. Oh, I'm so tired, I'm not going to sleep. Like why do we say, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm not going to eat?
Right.
Like these are essential things to survive. And like our body is such like a wonderful thing. It's like it's such a gift and like feeding it is so essential. So I think for me, I just try to remind myself of like a couple principles that I keep, like that one, whenever I'm just not feeling my best.
Yeah. I think that's good advice as well, to like you don't have to fix it in the moment. Sometimes it's better literally to just push those thoughts aside.
Let it be. Sometimes it's better to just walk through the day and, like, eventually, address them, think about them. But, like, if you have somewhere to be and, like, you've tried on 75 outfits because you don't like how any of them look, and there are things that you maybe wore the day before and you felt fine about, like, I think eventually you just have to get dressed and be like, I'm going to feel good about myself. I'm going to fake it till I make it. Today is a good day, and I'm going to go out and do my thing.
Put on your go-to outfit.
Literally.
Yeah, some days confidence has to be, like, more of a choice than other days.
For sure.
So getting into relationships, I love how you talk about relationships in the sense of, like, I feel like most people think relationship, they automatically think romantic. But in my head, when I say relationship, I first go to platonic, and then I kind of think of all the others, because there are so many forms of relationships and how you interact with people. What are some of your, like, top guidelines for all kinds of relationships? Kind of blanket statement. Do you have any?
I think that communication can be really important when you're in any kind of relationship. Like, I don't, like, if you're a friend that, like, has anxiety that everybody hates you, like, a lot, and that's, like, a feeling that you have, that's a very valid thing. Like, it's helpful to communicate that to your friend. So it's like, I just need affirmation that, like, if you're busy saying, like, hey, I love you so much, I'm busy, can't talk right now, other than just not responding, it's going to make me spiral. Like, something like that could avoid, like, your own anxiety so much. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in a romantic setting, like, if you have relationship trauma or something that you carried from your past, and, like, you, like, share that with your partner, or you're just like, hey, by the way, like, I really need independence. Like, I'm an independent person, and sometimes I need space, and it has nothing to do with you. It's actually for you. Like, I want space from you so that our relationship can be stronger every now and then. And I'm not talking a week of space. I'm just saying some nights I want to sleep by myself. And communicating that to your partner can avoid them feeling like you don't like them anymore. Like, communication can really avoid so many challenges. And I think we fear communication so often. But I think it's definitely, like, one of the biggest principles of relationships that I can think of. And even your one to yourself, like, communicating with yourself about your needs and your wants and your desires and, like, how you're feeling, like, check-ins. I think that having a check-in with, like, people in your life is really important, including you.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who struggles with communication? Because I think that's so common today, especially with, like, phones, where it's so easy to just text someone to try to handle something, or just ignore it and things like that.
So I always try to boil things down to the simplest possible that they could be. So if you are struggling because you want your partner to give you more affirmation, and, like, you're freaking out about how you would word that, and you think that they're not going to like you anymore or something, I think you just have to think, like, okay, what's the worst case scenario? They're confused about what I'm asking for, probably, is, like, the worst thing. Or they don't want to do it, in which case they're freeing you. They're letting you know that they're not the right person. But, like, if you literally boil it down to the simplest thing possible and say, I require words of affirmation in order to be in a healthy relationship. That's, like, 7 words. And if somebody was like, no, then that's not the right person for you. Mm-hmm. And at least you found out now.
Right.
Or, you know, finding a trick of a way to say it, like, oh, let's take the 5 love language quiz together to see how we want to receive and give love.
That's right, classic.
You know, like, finding little, like, holes or, like, tricks. I always tell people, they could always say, like, I listened to a podcast and I heard X, like, to someone, even if that's not true. So, like, I think that that's definitely, like, what I would say to people that are a bit more standoffish when it comes to that.
Yeah, because, like, not having to address it, like, head on, but, like, oh, I heard this, what do you think about? And then it can kind of, like, segue into that conversation
absolutely.
About that. That's really good advice. When it comes to, like, finding your own independence within a relationship, what do you think that right balance is between independence and then dependence on a relationship or even with friends?
I think you have to just put yourself first always. Like, I don't think you can cut off your friends when you're in a relationship. That can go really wrong and sour. But I think you have to, like, make sure that you're prioritizing yourself and, like, you're taking time for yourself to recharge. And even if you are a super extroverted person, I feel like it's important. I don't think there's any one balance, because everybody is so different, and you might like to spend 8 days a week with your partner. Like, you might like to be, like, 35/7, like, all the time when you be with them. And if that's how your relationship operates, that's great. But, like, just taking those moments of solace and silence just to sit with yourself, it's so important. It's so healthy, but it looks different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's hard for me to say, you know, like, this is how my relationship works, so everyone should follow it. Because for me, like, we see each other 4 times a week, and that really works for us. And the other 3, we don't see each other, and we don't really text a lot, because that's, we just have built trust and we don't need to. But a lot of people, that does not work, and that is so okay. Both are valid. And I think it's just about, like, communicating with your partner and really finding, like, what works for you and what will also work for them.
Are there any red flags, like, that come to mind when you're thinking of, like, maybe feeling too dependent on, like, getting a text from a person, or feeling like you don't have any independence and things like that?
I don't know about like red flags. I think mm-hmm. you just have to like know yourself and communicate. I think that's like the best advice I can give. Like, I think if somebody's I don't really like needy or clingy. I think they're really toxic words. And I think like mm-hmm. a guy being like, oh, she's needy, she's clingy. Like, maybe she just has relationship trauma. Like, maybe she just has anxiety. Like, I think that mm-hmm. you never hear about guys being needy and clingy as much as you hear it about girls. And so I think like, if a girl's like requires a text from her boyfriend, like, I don't think that's a red flag. I don't mm-hmm. think that's needy or clingy. I think that could truly be anxiety. It could truly be past relationship trauma. It should be something she works out with her therapist. It should be that she eventually builds trust with her partner so that she doesn't no longer feels that mm-hmm. way. But I think we have to validate those experiences too, because they're so common. And like, a lot of people think that they're like crazy or weird to feel that way.
Right. For sure. And if someone is in a relationship where their partner doesn't understand that, then
that's not the right person. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Similarly, how do you know when a relationship is right? What are some of your key points for if you're in a relationship, how do you know it's like the right one to be in that moment or phase of life?
I think it's just comfort. It comes down to comfort for me. Like, if you feel really comforted by a person and it feels comfortable, like you've known them forever, I think that's a really good sign that it's something really important and special. If you're feeling anxious or butterflies or something like that, that's probably not good. Mm-hmm. That's probably not a good sign. And for a number of reasons, sometimes butterflies are like, we think that they're a good thing, but they're actually just anxiety that's right. hiding behind it. Right. Door. I think that comfort is like the number one sign that you're in a really, really good relationship, that you're gonna be okay. Like, I think when you feel comfortable with someone, it's like the first step, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do think people overlook that feeling or kind of see that as a lack of butterflies or anything, but butterflies, like, that's discomfort. That's
totally
a little bit of anxiety.
Totally. And it also doesn't last. Like, when that goes away, it's like, then what foundation do you kind of have to build upon from there? What about people who are like looking for that good relationship and they feel like they can't find it anywhere? Because I know we are in our second year of college. Last year was obviously like such a weird year of not socializing. And I know a lot of our friends and us are kind of in the same boat where we're like, I don't even know where to look for people.
We were just talking to some of our friends and everyone has gone back to their exes.
So like, many people are reverting back to their exes. Yeah.
Whether it's a good relationship or a bad relationship, that's just like the path that people are on right now because it's
lonely out there.
It's like comfortable. Yeah.
I definitely think that you have to be on dating apps. Like, I understand that people don't like them, but like, there's unfortunately not many other ways. Mm-hmm. Like, and other than that, you have to be putting yourself out there. Like, they always say you have to be a friend if you want a friend. Like, I think it's it's sad that life isn't a fairy tale. Yeah. But a lot of us, like, I always sat around, like, I was like, I am Rapunzel. Like, someone's gonna come rescue me. And it's just like, well, if you want to date somebody that does art and is an artist, go to a concert, go to a random gallery opening, put yourself out there, join a book club, because the people that want partners that are also artistic or literary or what have you are also joining a like, what is it called? A pickup soccer league like something like – they're also doing that. So you have to be a friend to have a friend. And definitely I think like – energies attract. So if like you're saying, if you're like, I'm stuck, like nobody wants me, but you're not, you know, instigating, it's tough because it's like, well, the energy given out of I'm stuck, nobody wants me isn't attracting anyone. But if two people are both giving off energy that's like fun and exciting and interesting and special, then they're gonna like buzz together and attract each other like magnets. So I think it's a lot about like being on the apps, putting yourself out there, like a healthy mix of waiting and doing your own thing and being independent and putting yourself out there in ways, especially if you want a partner. I think if you don't want a partner and you just want to like hang out, maybe do something flirty, do something casual, just chill. But I think it's a healthy mix of both, where you're like going out and instigating things, but you're also just waiting for good energy to come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think people should kind of have a phase where they are in just that flirty zone rather than, I know a lot of people are kind of like one path or the other, or maybe they have a phase with something. Do you think everyone should have a phase where it's more like flirty, casual, fun rather than like relationships and really like serious?
I think it's really up to each individual. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to have that phase for your whole life, you can. Like, you don't have to get married. You don't have to do anything. Or if you want to be in a relationship for your whole life, you can. Like, my grandparents, they met when they were 12. But, like, yeah, I know it's crazy.
God.
They met when they were 12. So, like, that could totally happen. But you could also, like, be in this fun, flirty phase forever. Yeah, I just think it depends. Like, there are phases that you're allowed to have. And, like, everybody can have whatever phase they want to have at whatever time.
Yeah, agreed. Because I feel like it goes very differently for everyone. Like, some people, they start, like, having relationships in high school, and it's just, like, lots of relationships. Some people totally thrive always in that, like, trusting, codependent relationship.
Yeah.
And other people thrive, like, being very independent, having fun with other people. And I think that, like, the actual relationship will just, like, come
when it's supposed to as well. Totally. The right thing will happen when it's supposed to.
Agreed. So, how can people find confidence in, like, dating new people or in flirting if they're going for, like, a more fun, flirty phase? Because I feel like the reason a lot of people hold themselves back for meeting new people or going up to someone and flirting is, like, the lack of confidence or maybe a fear of rejection.
Yeah, I think you have to remember how low stakes it is. Like, it's really low stakes to, like, go on a first date. Like, it's like people put so much pressure on it, and I'm like, when has it ever made sense to meet someone for the first time and expect it to be, like, sparks flying, making out, in love? Like, that's weird to me. Like, I don't even really – like, I have, but I tend to not, like, kiss people on first dates because I'm like, I don't – like, this isn't the setting of, like, oh, I'm drunk in a bar, I'm going to make out with a random person. Right. This is, like, I don't – this feels weird. Like, we just went on a date. Why am I going to, like, let you stick your tongue in my mouth right now? And if you want to do that, that's so fine. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, like, it's so low stakes. Like, what are the stakes? Yeah. Literally
it's
nothing.
Like the trailer. You're just
if nothing else, you get, like, a dinner and an experience out of it.
Yeah. I always say, like, it's either going to be a second date or a story to tell your friends. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, what is the worst case scenario? They don't want to see you again. Okay. So you met the person for 2 hours. Yeah. Like, okay, never see them again. Yeah. So I think, like, just accepting that is, like, so helpful.
Mm-hmm. And what about, like, if seeing somebody out and just, like, wanting to go up to someone and flirt, like, ask somebody else out, what are your tips for that? Like, any good pickup lines, any good confidence tips?
I think you just have to do it with your friends. It's helpful. Like, combine groups and have, like, two groups together, or, like, have your friend help you, or just, like, approach someone and be like, what's your name? Like, nobody ever thought it was weird to ask what's your name. I always say that.
So friendships as well. I think friendships is, like, if we're going off of relationships, almost even bigger than a romantic relationship, because it's kind of like we expect to have a lot of friendships, and we also expect to, like, have friendships last forever. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we usually put a lot higher stakes in our friendships. Like, how would you handle friendship breakups or growing apart from someone when, like, inevitably those futures kind of don't get there?
I think it's really sad that we don't look at friendships the same way we do romantic relationships. Like, romantic relationships, there's an expectation that you're going to be with them for a while or you're going to break up. Friends, we put this unrealistic expectation that even as we grow and mold, we're never going to break up. Mm-hmm. We're never going to, like, drift. And that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense, because when you're in a relationship and you're both on two lanes and they're, like, parallel to each other, rather, and then one person starts going this way and the other person doesn't feel like going this way and they rather go to the left, okay, you break up because you've drifted in different ways. Mm-hmm. When that happens with friendships, we get so in our head, like, why do we have to break up? Why do we have to drift away? And it's like, it's the same thing. Like, you just aren't on the same page anymore, which is really okay. I think you have to remember that that's, like, really normal. And it doesn't make it any less sad. You're allowed to grieve it in the same way that you do the breakup.
Absolutely. Yeah, even almost more sometimes, I think. Like, we definitely in this past year, like, the two of us together with one specific friend kind of had that, where it was, like, not necessarily, like, a blowout breakup, but it's just, like, you're so close for so long and then you go down different paths. And it's, like, hard not to question that, or hard to, like, let it go and not, like, withhold hope that things are, like, gonna fix themselves or come back. But yeah, I totally agree. You kind of just have to, like, surrender to that, because it's unrealistic that people are going to be on the same path literally for, like, eternity. Like, at some point, somehow, things come to an end, or maybe they even just fluctuate. But like,
and that's okay. And I think it's so true that you do grieve those platonic breakups. Yeah. Similarly to if you were in a serious relationship.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has your experience been making friends, whether that was in college, post-grad? Like, how is that for you? Has it come easily to you? Or I know you've kind of talked about being introverted. Have you found it a bit more difficult?
Honestly, it's pretty easy for me to make friends. I keep a close circle. I just grew up with parents that did the same thing. So I'm not someone that has, like, a million friends. Also, luckily for me, social media made it incredibly easy after graduating. Mm-hmm. But I do always recommend, like, Bumble BFF is great.
Oh, that's cool.
Tons of content creators have, like, Facebook groups or Geneva chats where you could join and, like, literally meet your best friends because you have commonly shared interests. Mm-hmm. Joining clubs and book clubs and doing activities, it's so important in making friends. And so I think, like, there's so many resources out there, which is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. advice for somebody who is feeling lonely and, like, kind of hopeless about meeting their people? I guess other than, like, I haven't thought about Bumble BFF, which is actually,
I think, yeah,
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. If people are going to use that for relationships.
You just have to put yourself out there in the same way. Yeah. Like, think about it. There's literally dating apps for making friends. There's so many clubs. Like, obviously, it's tough to jumpstart the engine. But, again, what's the worst-case scenario? You go out one night to a club or a meetup and you don't find anyone, on to the next. Like, you're going to find those people if you're putting out that good energy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of kind of treating the situation like you're dating as well, because it's like, why not? Like, you're also looking for friends that you're a good match with as well. The only difference is, like, you're not exclusive and you're not having sex with them.
Yeah, that's literally it. That's literally
it. Like, you still want to, like, mesh with each other. You don't want to just, like, be friends with absolutely everyone just because.
Totally.
Or at least that's my take. I feel like we both, like, value friendships very highly, in the sense that, like, I want to have, like, a good, close relationship with someone rather than just, like, being best friends with everyone.
Right. Like, it is a relationship. It's not just someone you can name drop, like, you know what I mean? Like, it takes just as much work and effort and care as a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm. That name drop thing is how it feels like sometimes. And Catherine says this a lot, how it feels like,
especially in college, if you, like, go out and you meet someone for the first time, or you're, like, trying to find mutual friends, and it's, you feel like, I know this person, like, I've hung out with them maybe once, maybe twice, or I see them out, but mutual friends, you're like, oh, you're name dropping people. Yeah. And I feel like everyone, at least my experience with, like, going out in college, has been a lot of people want to, like, know the names or say they can know.
But they don't want to, like, really know you.
But, like, to dive deeper into that, like, relationship zone rather than acquaintance is hard to find.
Totally.
Yeah. It is hard, like, going from that. Like, how do you take it from someone that you just know, like, casually out, and you maybe, like, see them out all the time, you always say hi to each other, to them, like, getting an actual, like, friendship from there? I feel like that's kind of hard. Yeah. I know a lot of our listeners are college age, probably a bit younger than you. So it's, like, it's really great for this that you, like, while you probably still feel like you're, like, learning and going through things, you definitely are, like, a step ahead of us and a lot of our listeners as well. What was your kind of experience with that in college? Like, did you feel the same way, I guess we're saying? Like,
yeah, I definitely saw it. I think there's a lot of, like, you can bridge that gap by, like, asking that person to hang out one-on-one or, like, get a coffee or, like, just pick their brain. Like, go and do something. Like, go get dinner. Go to the dining hall. Like, something like that, to, like, take it out of the context of, like, just going out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Expand that.
And then how to be a good friend to somebody else? I think that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think listening to listen instead of listening to respond is, like, the utmost importance of being a friend. So, like, when someone's telling you something, like, you're listening to them because you want to listen to them, not because you have something to say in response. I think that's, like, my number one principle of friendship that, like, people forget so often. Like, that's how you be a good listener, and that's, like, the first thing. And then obviously, like, honesty and trust and, like, all of those things. But I think listening to listen to your friends is, like, huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think there are people that you automatically want to listen, you know, you have that connection with them or that want to actually participate in that communication with them. And then there's some people where maybe it takes a little bit more effort.
Yeah.
How would you kind of know when to, if it is someone that maybe you're forcing yourself or, like, being aware of, you know, making sure that that person feels heard and feels like you're listening to, how do you maybe, like, set boundaries if that's not someone that you're interested in talking to, whatever kind of relationship it is, if you kind of feel like you're going through the motions or being hyper aware of, like, actively participating and making that a good relationship? I know I'm super guilty of that. Like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, you know what I mean?
Like, reject friends, almost like you would reject a relationship.
How would you go about kind of maybe setting those boundaries if you do need to set a boundary?
Say something like, I love you so much, and, like, I wish I could be there for you right now, but, like, I have X, Y, and Z going on, and, like, I'm just not going to be a good friend to you in this moment. Mm. So I wanted to let you know that now so that you can find someone else to vent to, because, like, you deserve someone that's actually going to listen.
Yeah.
It's very easy, I think.
Yeah, that actually is, like, very simple and saves a lot of – I feel like it saves the friendship for later as well, too. It doesn't, like, create this, like, oh, you weren't there for me when you tell them, like, I can't, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
All about communication and having realistic expectations.
Yeah. Clear, simple communication. I love it.
Yeah.
When you have big goals in a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness,
Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced, from the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support. The new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.
Tips for living with confidence, living unapologetically, going after your goals, because obviously, like, you have become very successful, and I feel like the way that you live and express yourself is probably at the core of, like, finding that for yourself.
I think I have this thing that I always say that, like, if you're doing your best and you're being kind to others and yourself and you're working hard, like, and someone doesn't like you, that's a reflection of them and not you. And so why would you even bother? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're just living truthfully and fully and you're doing all those things and you're being true to yourself and other people don't like you, that's a reflection of them. And that was able to, like, allow me to just feel, like, unleashed in a way. Like, just become undone, sort of.
Have you always felt that way, or is it something you kind of, like, learned along the way?
I definitely learned it along the way. I would say, like, in college, it was something that I really picked up. But mid-college, I would say, probably where you guys are.
Yeah. Do you think – I just had this thought that theater growing up and that being, like, such a big part of your life, do you think that helped boost your confidence, like, being on stage, being in that, like, creative aspect?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Like, 100%.
I would imagine.
For so much.
Yeah. I mean, we, like – danced growing up, like, we didn't follow through with a lot of those performing arts things, but, like, growing up, we were dancers, we were in musical theater a bit, and I feel like just, like, learning to, like, collaborate with people and put yourself out there in that way, definitely, like,
it's great.
You keep that within you,
especially learning that from such a young age, that's kind of ingrained in you. For sure.
And how have you created — I know we talked a lot about in the beginning how you have so much going on, you work, like, 8 to 10. How do you find that work-life balance?
It's definitely tough when my, like, life is my work. But I just try to remind myself how grateful I am and, like, take time as I need it, whether that's, like, a really nice shower or, like, going to the gym or, like, getting my nails done. Just, like, little pockets in my week that's, like, a breath of air. That's really important for keeping me, like, stable, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. The mental health. Having a Diet Coke once in a while.
Yes.
Like, it all connects.
Having the Diet Coke is literally a lifesaver some days.
And I noticed you've been talking about this a little bit. My favorite tweet, I first saw this, like, quote on Twitter, is embarrassment is a choice.
Yeah.
Like, do whatever you want. I am obsessed with that, like, way of living life, and have been noticing that you've talked about it a lot recently. And how have you kind of embodied that, or grown into that mindset?
Well, I think that on Euphoria, Maddie was like, nobody knows if confidence is fake or real.
Absolutely.
And I think about that a lot. I think, like, it's so true. Like, nobody knows. I'm like, if you just chose, I'm not going to be embarrassed. And you faked it at first, but then eventually you really adopted that. That will get you, like, so incredibly far. Like, it is – it's such a, like – lasting, wonderful principle to lead mm-hmm. your life by.
Yeah, I always think, like, anything done with confidence becomes cool.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, literally who decides what's cool and what's not. Wow. And also we talk a lot about the fact how, like, a lot of the things that are seen as uncool are at the same time, like, seen as the coolest things ever when people are successful, like acting and singing and things like that. It's uncool when someone's just trying, but like when someone can do it with confidence and then find their success on that path, then they become the coolest people ever.
Right, yeah, right. Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Or if people are maybe dressing in a way that isn't
mainstream,
super mainstream and basic, you know, if you do it with confidence, if you're comfortable enough with yourself to do those things, whatever it may be, like, that's when people see it as cool because they can read your energy.
And right. Like, most, I don't think most people, like, actually know what is, like, cool in fashion at any given point. I think the majority of people don't. So it's literally about how someone presents themselves in a certain outfit or something, and you're like, oh, that's cool. It's clearly cool if they're showing up and acting like it's cool.
I totally
agree. Yeah. That, like, definitely funnels into the embarrassment is a choice, because it's, like, those are feelings within you about the way that people perceive you, but, like, you can then control the way that people perceive you with choosing not to be embarrassed and choosing to show up with confidence. It's a big cycle.
Absolutely.
So getting into this career, a very different experience working for yourself now, kind of in this space where you are going to events for work, how did you kind of navigate that transition with confidence and, you know, presenting yourself in the way that you want to be perceived?
Yeah, I think you just have to dive in with two feet. And if you're being authentic, people are going to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. So it's like it happens so fast that I'm sure you guys know, like, you can't really stop the train when it's already moving. Mm-hmm. And so I think you just have to, like, grab it by the balls and just go for it. You just have to wake up every day and say, like, this is what I'm doing. I wanted this and now I'm here. And, like, I'm going to make the most of every single moment and every single opportunity every single day.
Yeah. I really like that, saying, like, I wanted this. Now I have to do it. I think a lot of the time, like, we want something and something's a goal, and then once we have it, we, like, don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And you almost try to, like, revert and self-sabotage because it's totally out of your comfort zone when something that you wished you have, now you have.
Absolutely.
So I really like that of, like, okay, you wanted this. Yeah. Now you got to do it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Have you had any experiences, you know, on this path of growth and finding your place in this career? Have you had any times where maybe it was super, super difficult and you wanted to quit or maybe go back on yourself or had those
imposter syndrome almost?
Yeah.
I think imposter syndrome is definitely real. I'm lucky that I've been able to, like, check my gratitude and how grateful I am for this. Mm-hmm. So I don't ever feel like I had any moments that I was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I think, like, when TikTok permanently banned me, I obviously was like, what the fuck do I do? But I think once I got my TikTok back, I was like, okay, it's fine. You know, like, that was just a little bump in the road. Challenges make us who we are. So I'm lucky that I'm able to check my gratitude a lot and be like, okay, you want this. You're here. Uh-huh. And you're really lucky.
How do you do that? Do you have, like, routines or exercises for gratitude? Or is it more just, like, a trying to at all times feel that way?
I think it's, like, kind of at all times. Because, like, I always say conscious actions turn into subconscious thoughts. So if you're consciously, like, I'm grateful for this, subconsciously you'll start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Going into this summer, because I feel like the weather's getting warm, energy's getting brighter, everyone's feeling, like, summer vibes. Do you have any, like, new rules that you're living by this summer that may be different from last summer, maybe different from, like, the winter season that we're coming out of?
Well, I was always saying it was a who cares spring. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, whenever you do something, just who cares? Like, just fuck it and do it. I think that's probably, like, the biggest one and the one that I'm, like, living my life by now. I'll definitely be hunkered down writing for most of the summer. Uh-huh. So I think I'll be a little bit separate, but live by who cares spring, because literally, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, who cares?
Who cares?
Hopefully you get, like, some sunlight in your window, or you can do some writing outside or something.
For sure,
like,
for
make
sure.
Make it a summer vibe during that creative process.
Do you guys have summer plans, like internships?
A little bit. So we just got back from doing marketing internships abroad, and now this summer we're pretty much based out of home this summer, focusing on the podcast content creation and then also just doing some jobs on the side. And Catherine is going to be a lifeguard on the beach.
Oh,
and I'm
going to
try
that.
To serve at a restaurant on the beach nearby as
so
well, because we live on the coast and I feel like it's a good way to, like, force myself outside.
Absolutely,
and to be social as well.
Yeah, it's such a social thing to do. That's the best. I highly recommend.
Like,
last summer we didn't have, you know, other jobs than getting the podcast started and focusing on content creation and our work in that sense. And it was very isolating because, like, you know, when you are
working for yourself, by yourself, constantly,
you never turn it off.
Absolutely.
So
getting kind of a, like an outside job can number is number one gonna help socially.
That's good balance.
And kind of energize in that sense.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about, like, doing something like that. So, because literally last summer, like, towards the end, I was like, okay, this is feeling very repetitive. I'm working for myself, by myself, with myself only, right? And it, like, I had nothing that was kind of giving me structure outside of that throughout the summer. Yeah. At least, like, at school, obviously. You're hopping around, going to classes. You're staying so busy with other things. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. Really. It's definitely exhausting when all you're thinking about is, like, yourself.
One thing, yeah, it is so exhausting.
I mean, with every job, you can kind of get in that rut and kind of too much routine, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you just wake up one day and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this again. What have you experienced that? Like, what's the aid for that?
I think it's just finding little, like, that's why I do, like, buy your coffee Friday and Chipotle Sunday. It's finding little pockets, little things that can make your day just feel a slight bit more elevated, because there is such, like, a routine fatigue. And I think it's, like, so important to find those little pockets where it's, like, my day is going to be elevated. Mm-hmm. I want to feel better, like, for myself.
Yeah, I love routines, but I find more so that, like, versus having a super specific strict routine, I just, like, have my values.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, there are some things that I'll do every day, but I don't need to know, like, exactly how or what time or what I'll do them, you know? Like, that definitely helps me. Otherwise, it just feels like the same exact day over and over and over.
Adding those little spices to your life of getting a coffee. Like, I don't care if some – of course, it's cheaper to make your coffee at home, but sometimes you just need to go and buy a coffee.
Sometimes you need a Diet Coke. Sometimes you need
Do you have a special coffee order?
Not really. I kind of jump around. Yeah, whenever I'm feeling that day, I think.
That's a good way to be. Matcha sometimes?
I like matcha. Yeah. Matcha's really good.
I go back and forth. I can't stick with one or the other because I feel like – if I, like, decide, then I miss the other one in the moment. So I just wake up every day and it's however I'm feeling that day.
Totally.
That's a good way to live about it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like my brain, usually for things, I try to, like, always have a decision on something or, like, be very focused on one thing. So, like, having things like that where I'm, like, no, like, I don't need to decide. Like, I force myself not to make a decision on some things just so it, like, can keep some intuition in my life a little bit more.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. So coming from more of, like, a big sister angle, I feel like you have some great insight. What are some kind of ultimate pieces of advice that you would give someone who's younger or in a different phase of life than you are?
I think just always, like, keep your goals, like, in your periphery. Like, don't let them leave your sight, even if you think they're, like, completely unattainable. Like, manifest those, put them in your brain as something that's going to happen. Like, I always say, like, you have to live like future you already got into Harvard Law School. Future you is already a veterinarian. Future you is already a doctor, a singer, whatever you want to be. Current you just has to get that for them. And I think that that's, like, such an important thing to pursue when you're living your life. And, like, even with, like, relationships, like, future you already has that amazing partner. Future you already has all these wonderful things. Current you just has to get that for them.
Do you have, like, something that you do for that? Is it, like, journaling, or is it just, like, always in the back of your mind, that self-belief that you're gonna have those things?
I think you really have to train your mind. I think writing it down helps too, but training your brain, like, subconscious thoughts, conscious actions, vice versa.
Yeah. What are some of those, like, what is the future, Eli, or the goals that you kind of have in your brain now?
That's a hard one. I mean, the biggest one was the book, and so now I think it's just to sell it and for it to be a success. I mean, it's so tough to, like, when you reach one of those goals that was always in your periphery, to, like, replace it with another. I think I'm, like, going to live for a while without replacing it with another. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then I'll just usher a new one in.
Yes. Right. It is just as important to, like, be and exist as you are now than to do and keep adding
I
more.
I totally agree. You have to have a healthy balance of both.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about this the other day about how it's, like, once you reach a goal, the tendency is always, like, okay, what's new? What's next? Yeah. And it's, like, at what point do you tell yourself, like, okay, I did that. Now I want to live as this person that I am now that I accomplished that thing.
Actually use that growth that you gained throughout that process before you just...
Just to relax a little.
Yeah. So that's, like, probably really exciting. Now you have the confidence of, like, you have the book deal. Now you have this time to live right now as an author with a book deal.
Yeah.
You know, without having to, jump to something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so exciting. All right. Well, thank you so much, Eli, for all of the great advice that you shared. If you guys are coming already knowing Eli, I hope that you got a lot of new stuff out of this, got to know her a lot better. And if you're new, I hope that you obviously are going to get a lot of advice from this because it's very new and fresh to you from Eli. So thank you very much
thank
for
coming.
Thank
you guys so much for having me. You'll have to keep me updated with like the future, the college, how everything's going.
Would love to.
Yes, of course.
How the dating life goes.
Yeah, it's like definitely very dry right now. So like when that comes about, I'll come to you.
Yeah. I agree. We have to manifest.
That's
all we can do.
A little summer manifestation.
Summer fling. Summer fling is so fun.
Everyone could use a summer fling, and it's like for definitely sure. been a
That's
while
what we'll
since
leave
a summer
them
fling.
With. Everyone needs a summer fling in this
final
summer.
Piece of advice. Okay. Go get your summer fling. And where can they find you, Eli?
They can find me on Instagram, eli.rallo, TikTok The Jar. My podcast is Miss Congeniality. I think that's all.
And well, that'll all be linked below in the show notes.
Yeah. We'll have to do a swap there? Eventually. I'm so booked out right now for like months and months and months. But whenever there's an opening, you guys will have to come in.
Yeah, sounds great. We come often enough to New York that we can make something happen. Yeah, so be on the lookout for that as well. Go follow her podcast so that you can listen to her other great episodes and also be around when we do get to doing an interview on hers.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.